You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown.
Iranian musician-composer Kayhan Kalhor performed this year at the 9th Annual Fez Festival of World Sacred Music as part of an ensemble led by Iranian vocal master Mohammad Reza Shajarian to a capacity crowd at the Bab al-Makina Amphitheater, built in 1886. It is where official diplomatic ceremonies were once held during the Fez Festival that hosted the evening concerts. The ensemble's performance of classical Persian music was one of the festival's artistic highlights. Kalhor spoke with Peace Watch correspondents Willard Jenkins and Katia Stitt about a number of topics, including the Bush administration label of Iran as being part of the so-called Axis of Evil.
The axis of evil, it's an old business. And they call U.S. axis, one of the axis, the main one, actually. Who cares about these things? People, everyday people living there don't care about these terms. I think my own experience in my life is that everywhere, in every country, people want better lives and want peace and freedom. And I don't think... This is just about or for one country. Everybody loves to be counted as decent human being, and having the basics to live. And I think people of Iran are like that as well. Some in the world, some countries have more resources, more economical growth, and some have less than that. But we all have to help each other to live better. As people of this world, and help each other to understand each other's culture, because the whole culture in the world is just one culture basically, and we all learn from each other, and the concept of democracy, economical growth, and everything, it's just not for one country, and it's not for one country to bring it to another, or to export it, especially with by bullets, so. I think we are all sorry. I can speak for me, my family, and my friends, people around me, that everybody's really, really sorry about what's happening in Iraq. People are suffering. Children of Iraq are suffering, and there is poverty, and there is uncertainty about their future, and it doesn't make anybody happy. At the other hand, and it doesn't make me sad to see Saddam Hussein go, an evil man like that. But, everything has its own cost, and I think that was a very, very high cost for people of Iraq to get rid of a dictator.
As we will further explore in our upcoming two-hour special on the festival, one of the musical highlights of the 9th Annual Fez Festival of World Sacred Music was a performance led by the serene voice of Mohammad Reza Shajarian, known as the undisputed master of classical Iranian song and the most important vocalist in Persian music today. Mr. Shajarian performed with three quite distinguished musicians themselves, including Kayhan Kalhor. Mr. Kalhor is a 40-year-old master Iranian musician and composer. A child prodigy, he has become a virtuoso of the kamanche, a bowed spike fiddle generally played in a position in front of its practitioners, on the lap or seated on the floor in the lotus position. Educated in Iran, where he came under the tutelage of several Iranian master musicians, Kalhor was 17 when he began working with the Sheda Ensemble of the Shavosh Cultural Center, the prestigious Iranian arts organization. Kayhan migrated to live in Brooklyn for a time while achieving international renown for his musicianship. He has returned to his native Tehran to live and ply his craft.
Tell us about your experience being here in Fez for the World Sacred Music Festival.
I've been here before. And a part of it is nice. I like it. The place is nice. And I think there are many parts that I cannot associate myself with. The whole sacred music idea, it's not something that I'm very crazy about. It is difficult to say what music is sacred and what's not. To me, music is sacred, period. Music is my life, my love, my honor, my whatever I have is true music. And there is nothing else for me in the world. So it is sacred to me, whether or not I present it as a Sufi music or sacred music. I think these terms should be somehow differentiated and talked about.
Even musicians who do not consider themselves as performing so-called sacred music still talk about the fact that the process is the creator coming through them to the public.
There is nothing but that. It's just, we're all instruments in somebody else's hands, and we're fortunate enough to be given the talent to do this, so we're the chosen ones, actually. So there is nothing else but that. I think music is sacred. You know, jazz music is sacred. Pop music is sacred. It's just, it reminds me of this word that they use in Islamic world, in different languages, Ayatollah, for example. This is a sign of God. But everybody's Ayatollah, you know, this little child is an Ayatollah. You know, everybody's sign of God. Everywhere you look, there are signs of God. A dog is a sign of God. So what makes somebody different from other people? Mm-hmm. I think all the music, all the art is sacred. I mean, you look at the Picasso or Goya or Cezanne or all this works by all these masters, and there is a sign of God in there. You know, they're not humans. So all of the art that we like to look at, to hear, to be part of, it's sacred.
The sense of an event which wants to compartmentalize so-called sacred music?
Yes and no. Yes, because it filterizes many things, and it pushes many other things as they're not. I think if we want to think as the organizers of the festival, you know, if I was the organizer of the festival, I wouldn't bring many groups here in this festival because they're not sacred enough if you think like them. But the whole thing is really very, very chaotic term to specify what's sacred and what's not sacred. It's just, and what's the term Sufi, for example, we use it left and right these days. This is Sufi, this is not Sufi. Are you Sufi? So it's just, it's becoming very cheap, especially for somebody like me who comes from a culture that there is not even one molecule in it that's not Sufi. All the philosophy, poetry, music, everything, we brought up with it. We don't have to be part of a sect or an order to be Sufi. You know, whatever we do is Sufi. There are illiterate people. You know, my grandmother has thousands of verses of Maulana Jalaluddin and Hafiz and Saadi memorized. So she's not a Sufi, she used to be a housewife. So who's going to tell her you're not a Sufi, or what is being Sufi? A lot of this confusional kind of things going on, and we have to somehow stop it or put an end to it or just make it really clear that being a Sufi is not a job. It's not something that you can be. You're hired to find Sufis for me. This is very naive, very shallow. I hope someday, very soon, we can have a very clear and concrete understanding of the whole concept.
Kayhan Kalhor has been afforded an opportunity to work and perform across the globe. However, there is much historical documentation which suggests that religious fundamentalist regimes like that which has dominated the Iranian government since the revolution of the 1970s often take a dim view of artistic expression, particularly in a modern realm. Among the issues we spoke of with Kayhan Kalhor during a balmy June evening on the patio of his hotel were the concerns of the creative artist who must ply his or her craft in an atmosphere which we in the West view as somewhat restrictive of creative expression. How is life for creative artists in Iran?
Not very easy. Because, as I said, the universities only represent a certain kind of ideas, and they want students to really follow the traditions. And I think it's like that in any country. In North India, for example, because I have many North Indian musician friends there, I think, you know, it's the same. The universities are invaded by very hardcore traditionalists all the time. Mm-hmm. And radio and TV don't present anything musically precious. And it is really hard to work as a private musician, not connecting with the government. That's a borderline in Iran, living after the revolution. Because I, for one, didn't want to maintain a kind of relationship that I represent my government in any sort. I'm sure, you know, many people have the same kind of ideas living in their own country.
What is it like for artists who may be interested in more creative expression in Iran, as far as original expression? And, you know, I seem to get the sense from you that it's kind of a rigid orientation as far as the music that does happen there. But then I get the sense from you that you are interested in exploring other forms, perhaps,
sure,
or some sense of innovation. So how do you, is there a community of musicians, like-minded musicians like yourself, or how does it work for you?
Of course there is a community of musicians, but they're divided in different parts. Some are independent musicians that also are well-known abroad, and they do their own concerts, they have their managers, they travel a lot, like Shajarian, you know, Aliza, me and myself, you know. So there are maybe 10 of them that they have separate life from universities, from the government, from TV and radio. But some are hired and sent abroad through the government agencies to do concerts. Of course, the greater musicianships are a little different. You know, some musicians really need the government to be presented. But at the universities, the situation is really worse. You get all, how should I say it, non-successful musicians, academicians, whatever you want to call them, invading the universities, and that's been going on for 20 years now. Before then, you know, Tehran University Music Department produced many, many good musicians. Alizadeh is one of them. He graduated from Tehran University just before the revolution. And there were a number of people, very, very good musicians, that actually control a lot of, or they carry a lot of responsibility in Persian music today. But unfortunately, that situation didn't continue. All the old masters died, and the whole university scene was changed and still really, really dead. And the students just go to universities for degrees, and they know it. They know that they're not learning anything there, and they're constantly outside of the universities, you know, looking for other teachers, other courses and things to take. So they can complete their degree there, but their musical ideas actually are not formed in universities.
From what you just said a moment ago, that most of the Iranian artists who get touring opportunities, those touring opportunities come by way of government support?
The ones who need that. I mean, for some musicians, it's easier to get exposed to outside market, and for some it's more difficult. I think that has certainly do something with the musical talent. But musicians need to live in different ways, and some of them are absorbed in that circle, of course.
Have you, as this circle of musicians, been subject to political repression by the current government?
To the extent that, you know, we shouldn't forget that we're part of the people. You know, we live in that country. As musicians, whenever the music itself was suppressed, of course the musicians are suppressed. You can't work, you can't talk. That's through the musical language. And if I say intellectuals in that society, you know, that there are political problems, that you are expected to protest somehow by people. And they want your voice, they want your presence, and they want you to be there. And that makes the life a lot more difficult, because we're living in a society that people are totally living separately from the government. The government is a very, very small minority controlling a very huge majority. That is sensed everywhere you go. They have their own lives, and government people make their own decisions, and you know, disregarding people 100%. And we have been trying to change that. I mean, Iranian people, we voted for a president who represented many new ideas, very, very decent man, and he practically lost the battle. There was hope in the beginning of his presidency, and now, you know, everything has changed, so we have to think of other ways. But we're part of the people, and I think we're in the forefront of the whole thing, and they just push us, and, you know, the filmmakers, the writers, everybody, and they think we're responsible to get their voices across. This is actually, which brings me to another subject. This is why I travel so much. I'm in a culture business, if you want to call it. Although I live by playing in concerts, but I feel responsible to get my people's voice across. You know, this is our music. You know, I come from very old culture. I have contributed as an Iranian a lot to the culture of the world. This is us. And then we don't represent our government. We don't even like our government. So this is what we've been trying to say. And a lot of traveling, giving lectures, talks, and concerts is a very big part of that.
Iranian musician-composer Kehan Kalhor speaking with Katia Stitt and Willard Jenkins from the 9th Annual Fez Festival in Morocco. The conference was titled From My Soul to Your Soul, The Art of Transmission. On Labor Day, Peace Watch will feature more of interviews and music from the World Sacred Music Festival with Willard Jenkins and Katia Stitt. Peace Watch is produced in Washington, D.C. Our producer is Scott Gurian. Our editor is Lona Elias. Our engineer is T. from the Pattersons, taking the train to Tibet. And R.H. Brown. Our associate producer is Angelique Shofar. This special was produced by Katia Stitt and Willard Jenkins, and on-site engineering by Sven Abo. Special thanks to Zeba Rockman, Susan Jenkins, and the staff of the Fez Festival of World Sacred Music. I'm Verna Avery Brown, the executive producer. We hope you enjoyed this departure from our normal programming. Thank you for listening.